Chapter 9. I reached out and touched her cheek lightly, and Kaz closed her eyes and leaned into my touch as she let out a low sigh.
I love to feel your hands on me.
I love to put my hands on you. I smiled.
Then do it.
Kaz licked her lips and leaned toward me. I placed my other hand on her arm and stroked up to her neck. Her skin was soft and smooth and shivered under my touch.
Rath, you make me feel so good.
I pushed my hands into Kaz's hair and I pulled her to me. Then I held her face an inch away from mine so I could feel her breath on my lips. She began to pant with desire, and I waited until she started to wiggle with anticipation before I slowly leaned down and placed my lips gently on hers. Kaz immediately sighed and collapsed into my arms. Her body pressed against mine, and I felt the warmth of her and the curves of her body. My hands had a mind of their own as they traced her curves and made their way down to her ass. I grabbed a handful of it and pulled her closer to me. "Oh, you're so sexy," I whispered into her ear. Kaz gasped as I nibbled on her ear and then worked my way down to her neck and collarbone. She undid my braid, and her hands snaked their way into my hair so she could hold my mouth against her skin. She arched her back and thrust her chest up to me, so I kissed down to her full cleavage as I worked my hands up to the top of her tunic. I pulled on her tunic to reveal her ample breasts, and her small pink nipples were hard and waiting for me as her pale skin was lit up by the moonlight.
Rath, I need you.
No, patience. I kissed my way down to her breasts and cupped them in my hands before I pulled her nipples between my fingers and gave them a little squeeze. Kaz trembled beneath me as her body responded to my touch, and I savored her reaction and pinched them even harder. She moaned louder and arched her back with pleasure, and her curls bounced as she shook her head from side to side with impatience. I could sense she wanted me to speed up, for me to be inside of her, but I wasn't going to give in that easily. I wanted her to beg for me, to desire me in such a way that it was all she knew in that moment.
Rath, please. I need you.
No, it's so sexy when you say that. I laid Kaz down on the bed then, and I continued to kiss her neck and chest as I slowly slid my hand up her thigh toward her sex. She writhed beneath me and tried to push her hips up to meet my hand, but I made sure to keep my pace slow as I teased her. Then her legs fell open to give me access to her sweet womanhood, and I slowly crept my fingers up to her soaking wet lips. She was slick with excitement as I stroked her, and her knees trembled with pleasure as she gripped my hair hard and clenched her teeth. Her breath was heavy, and I continued to stroke her slowly as I drove her to the edge and then pulled back again to extend her pleasure.
Please.
Kaz begged after a few moments of teasing.
I need you. I want you inside of me.
I want you to come for me first. I whispered into her ear as I continued to stroke her pussy. I'm going to taste you.
Rath.
She moaned and arched her back. As her pelvis lifted off the bed, I took the opportunity and slipped a finger inside of her as my tongue dipped down to lick her excited pink nub. She tasted like tart cherries and honey, and I quickly found a motion with both my mouth and fingers that she liked.
Yes.
She bucked her hips and dug her nails into my shoulder at the feel of my finger entering her, and her reaction was enough to make my cock twitch with excitement. Oh. You like that? I was rock hard, and I could feel myself getting more excited by the second. As Kaz's pleasure grew, so did my own.
Oh, that feels so good. Rath, please don't stop.
The strawberry blonde writhed and moaned as I pushed my fingers in and out of her. I slid in easily since she was so wet, and the feel of her slick and sticky walls made me squeeze my eyes shut in pleasure. I wanted her so bad it hurt, but I needed to feel her pleasure first. Finally, Kaas's body tensed as she prepared to come, and a second later her pussy spasmed and clenched my fingers as she clawed into my shoulder and rode out her orgasm.
Yes, Raz! Yes!
She screamed as she bucked and arched on the bed. Oh, good girl, I cooed as her juices soaked my tongue and palm. Just like that, come for me. After she finished climaxing, I rolled on top of her and began to unfasten my breeches so my throbbing cock could enter her. But she pushed on my shoulders, and I allowed her to direct me onto my back.
It's my turn to make you feel good, Wrath.
The strawberry blonde kissed down my neck to my abs, and then she lifted my tunic over my head and worked on the leather tie at the front of my pants. My erection pressed against my pants, and I could feel her hands brush it every few seconds. The feel of her hands on me was enough to drive me wild, and I reached down and pushed my hands into her curls. Oh, fuck! I groaned as Kaas finally got my pants undone, and my erection sprung free. The feel of the cool air on my cock made me all the more excited to feel inside of Kaas's slick pussy. I knew she was warm, wet, and waiting for me, and I wanted her more than I could possibly say at the moment.
You look so delicious,
Kaas whispered. She looked up at me through her thick eyelashes, and her violet eyes were filled with desire. The strawberry blonde slowly lowered her lips onto my cock, and the feel of her warm mouth on me made me throw my head back in pleasure. Oh, fuck! I moaned as she took the whole of me into her mouth and down her throat. Kaas expertly bobbed up and down on my cock, and each stroke of her mouth on me brought me that much closer to the edge. Finally, I wrapped my fingers into her curls and pulled her down even further until every inch of me was inside her warm mouth. Kaas gasped when I released her, and as she pulled away, a string of spit connected her plump, pink lips to my cock. Oh, come here, I growled. I needed to be inside her right now. I grabbed the beautiful sorceress by the arms and pulled her up so she was on top of me. I could feel the slickness of her pussy against my cock as my shaft scraped against her, and the feel of it only made me want her that much more. My erection stood at attention and waited for Kaas to allow me in. I could feel my desire building with every second I wasn't inside her, until finally she pressed her opening against my cock and slowly lowered herself down. She took me inside of her inch by inch, and she gasped and moaned with pleasure as I filled her completely.
Oh, Wrath!
She groaned as she began to move her hips back and forth on me.
You feel so good.
Oh, you feel better. I bit my lip as the strawberry blonde began to grind her hips harder against me. I could tell she wanted me bad, and her enthusiasm made my cock twitch with pleasure. Kaas looked beautiful as she rode my shaft. Her large, plump breasts were pushed together by her arms, and they bounced each time she thrust against me. Her long, curly hair was messy, and it framed her face in the sexiest way as she bit her lip and threw her head back.
I love the way you fill me up. You stretch me wide open and touch every part of me.
You like that? I asked as I grabbed her hips and pushed them back and forth fiercely.
Yes!
She groaned, and her mouth opened wide as she dug her nails into my chest.
I think I'm going to...
Kaas's orgasm suddenly overcame her, and I continued to move her hips as her pussy squeezed and spasmed on my cock. The strawberry blonde gasped and threw her head back as she rode out her waves of pleasure, and I leaned forward to bite at her nipples to increase her pleasure. Oh, shit, Kaas, you're so damn tight. I savored the feel of her on my cock and gritted my teeth to control myself. And once her orgasm subsided, I grabbed her waist and lifted her off me so I could flip her over. I laid her on her back on the bed and grabbed her knees so I could toss them over my shoulders. Then I thrust back inside her in one smooth motion.
Oh, fuck!
Kaas moaned, and she gripped the blanket beneath her as she arched her back.
It feels like you're splitting me in half like this, Wrath.
Good, I growled, and I savored the feel of her pussy wrapped around my cock for a moment before I started to thrust in and out. Kars's breasts bounced up and down as I pushed into her, and I reached down to pull one of her nipples between my fingers and gave it a little pinch.
Yes, harder.
I did as she commanded, and squeezed her small pink nipple even harder, and at the same time I began to thrust in and out of her with more force. Kars turned her head side to side as she moaned louder and louder with her building pleasure, and it wasn't long before her jaw dropped open and her body tensed under me.
Rat, I'm gonna come.
Do it, I ordered as I pounded into her. Come for me again, Kars.
Yes!
Her pussy gripped my cock hard and spasmed uncontrollably as she wriggled beneath me and rode out her pleasure. Kars's pleasure sent me over the edge, and I thrust in hard one last time until I bottomed out inside of her and allowed myself to come. I'm going to fill you up, I growled as lightning raced up my spine, and my vision began to tunnel out as I emptied what seemed like several pints of my seed into the keening Valkyrie. Her orgasm continued as she whined my name, and she milked my cock as it tensed and pulsated while I filled her up with my cream. I rode out the waves of my own orgasm, and I pushed my throbbing shaft harder into Kars as she continued to spasm underneath me. Climaxes seemed to last for a good minute, but then my cock gave one last twitch and spurt of seed, and I slowly pulled myself out of Kars with a groan and laid down next to her. My thighs and pubic area were coated in a wetness, and I savored the feel and scent of it as I pulled her close to me and nestled my nose into her strawberry blonde locks.
Thank you, Rath.
Kars muttered as she sleepily nuzzled her nose against my chest.
My love falling asleep in your arms, filled with your seed. It's so warm and comforting inside me.
You're welcome, I chuckled, and I pressed one last kiss into her curls. The next day would be filled with adventure and excitement as we traveled to Jotunheim to gather the water from the first well. For the moment, though, I enjoyed the stillness and the feel of Kars's warm body pressed against mine. We slept next to each other all night, and I woke up to the morning light shining in through the window above our heads. After I took a moment to get my bearings, I left Kars in bed, got up, threw my tunic on, and headed outside. Asta and the little dragons were still asleep by the fire pit. The fire had fizzled out, and there was nothing more than coals and a little bit of smoke. Since we had a long day ahead of us, I decided I would make a more substantial breakfast for all of us. So I grabbed my fishing net and my satchel and headed down to the river near our house. Even though we had a bathtub in the cottage, once I got down to the water, I splashed some water on my face. It was cool and refreshing, and I pulled some in my hands and took a drink of it. It was a brisk morning, and I held my net in the water and waited for the fish to swim into it. While I waited, I thought about our mission for the day and what we were hoping to accomplish. Jotunheim was a dangerous place, and even though I knew we were headed to the well and not the Frost Giant's lair, I still couldn't guarantee there were no giants around to get into battle with. The girls had done well against them the last time we'd gone there, but the Frost Giants were a fierce enemy, and I didn't want to have to put in either the time or the energy into battling them. And there was enough to do already without running into some frost giants. I knew it was a risk we would have to take, and however long it took for us to gather the water was how long it was intended to take. Fate was nothing to second guess. I sensed the rope attached to the net suddenly jerk, so I grabbed it and yanked the net out of the water. Inside were four or five large fish, and I smiled at the full catch and decided that was good for breakfast. On my way back to the house, I ran into Asta in the woods. She was gathering herbs, and she hadn't noticed me, so I snuck over to her and tapped her on the shoulder. The white-haired elf woman instinctively reared her elbow back and hit me in the nose. She turned around with a fierce look on her face, but when she saw it was me, she gasped and covered her mouth with her hands.
Oh my goodness, Brad, I'm so sorry!
No, it's all right. I chuckled and put my hands on my nose to Make sure it wasn't broken. It didn't hurt too bad, but she'd landed a solid blow, and I was proud of her.
Let me look at it.
Master frowned. Oh, it's really okay. I smiled. I'm happy to see your reactions are that quick. Not too long ago, Asta wouldn't have known what to do if someone snuck up on her in the woods, and I was happy to know her training had paid off. She was becoming a true warrior, and it was becoming second nature for her, which I appreciated.
Are you sure?
Yes. Now let me help you gather your herbs.
Okay.
Asta's frown only deepened. She was clearly still upset she'd struck me, but it was no big deal, and I had to show her as much. Okay.
I see you gathered some fish.
She pointed at the full net. I figured we had a long day ahead of us, and we deserved something nice for breakfast. I smiled.
I thought the same. That's why I came out here to gather some herbs for special tea.
Oh, what's so special about it?
If I put the correct herbs in, it will give us an extra boost of energy for today.
She answered with a proud smile. Oh, I'm sure we could all use that. That's why I didn't wake you all up when I came out here. Figured you could use the rest.
Everyone else was still sleeping when I left too, so I let them sleep. I didn't want to wake them up since we have such a long day ahead of us.
Neither of us could be sure how long our day would really last, but this unknown factor made it seem that much longer. If we could get a portal to open near the well in Jotunheim, then our journey wouldn't take too long, and we could move on to the next well. If not, then we would need to travel throughout Jotunheim to try and find the well. Bla's teleportation abilities were much better than they'd been a few days before, but they weren't exactly precise yet. I knew, with time, they would only improve, but for the moment we had to deal with what we were given. Bla would be able to make us a portal to Jotunheim, but there was no guarantee we would land anywhere near the well. With Ramir's spell on our map, we would be able to travel to the well easily, but I wasn't sure how far the well might be from where we landed. At least we didn't have a time limit on this journey, and Jotunheim wouldn't steal all of our joy if we were there longer than 6 hours. I helped Asta gather a few more herbs for her tea, and then we both walked back to the clearing by our home. The morning had gotten brighter while we were out in the woods, and when we arrived back at home I saw Kaas was awake, and so were the little dragons. They were all gathered around a now roaring fire.
There you are.
Kaas said when she looked up and saw us.
I figured you all went to get something for breakfast.
We did, I smiled.
Yes, Wrath caught us some fish and I picked some herbs to make us a special tea for today. That sounds lovely. Is there anything I can do to help?
Why don't you gather up some vegetables for breakfast?
You got it.
Kaas smiled at me and winked.
As long as I don't have to do the actual cooking.
No, I think I'll do that. The last time the strawberry blonde had attempted to make food for us, she used a spell to make it taste better. She only wanted to impress us, and it was sweet of her to do so, but I enjoyed cooking, so I figured I would handle that and save her spell-making energy for things that actually mattered. The little dragons played while Asta and I made tea and breakfast, and when I called them over to eat, Blar and Inger devoured their food quickly. They took large bites and allowed pieces to fall out of their mouths as they chewed. But Ufe ate as slowly as ever, and I smiled, reached down and patted his head as he chewed calmly. Bla and Inga were done quickly, so the two of them played in the yard, while the girls and I finished eating our meal. Once we finished eating, we put on our armor and gathered our weapons for the day. It was a strange feeling knowing we didn't have to go to the countryside to find a portal to travel. I'd gotten so used to us having to make that work, it seemed almost like cheating to not have to leave our home. Kaas pulled out the map so Bla could look at it. Bla, are you ready? I asked after he had a chance to look at it. The little blue dragon smiled and nodded his head eagerly before he closed his eyes and focused. A few seconds went by, and then a small portal appeared, and it grew until it was full size. Bla opened his eyes and looked at the portal he'd created. Then he smiled at me, and I smiled back at him. All right, let's go. I grabbed the girl's hands and took a deep breath before I stepped through the portal and into the world of Jotunheim. Kaas had once again put a spell on us so we didn't feel the cold, but I could sense it all around me. Everything was white with snow, and there was nothing around us except for large black boulders that jutted out of the white landscape.
Where are we headed?
Asta asked, and her white hair nearly blended into the world around us.
Let me see.
Kaas answered as she looked over the map. I walked over and peered over her shoulder so I could see where the well was. It didn't look as though we were far from it, and I narrowed my eyes on the map as I studied it closely.
Looks like the well should be that way.
Asta pointed behind us. Oh, I think you're right. I frowned. It looks like it will take us some time to walk there, with all the snow, but we should be able to reach it in a few hours.
We should get going, then.
Kaas nodded and put the map away. Right, I agreed, and I turned around and led us toward the well. It was strange to see Kaas and Asta in the snow. Both of them were dressed in only a tunic and their armor, and if they didn't have a spell on them, they would be absolutely freezing. I knew I looked just as humorous, though, given I only wore a tunic and some pants under my metal armor. Still, the little dragons seemed the most out of place. Dragons were fire creatures, and here they were in a world covered with snow. I knew all three of them hated the snow, but they tolerated it since Kaas and Asta's spell worked so well. The cold was really the worst part of snow. Otherwise, the flakes were quite beautiful. The whole world was coated in a white dust, and it was oddly peaceful as we walked. Our feet left imprints behind us, but I made sure to keep an eye out for anything following us, and so far I hadn't seen anything. All I could see was a white wasteland, with the occasional large black stone off in the distance. I knew some areas of Jotunheim were less snowy than this, but we were in the dead space of that realm.
I think we're almost there,
Kaas said, after we'd been walking for a few hours. The strawberry blonde pulled the map out of her satchel and opened it up to take a look. I could see her breath when she spoke, and I was once again grateful to have magical women on my side to help protect me from the cold.
It does look as though we're close,
Asta agreed, as she looked over Kaas's shoulder. I leaned over to take a look as well, and Blah leaned forward off my shoulder to see for himself. Nearly there, I nodded. The well should be just beyond the ridge to our right. There was a small mountain range there on the map, and the well looked to be nestled just below it.
I hope the mountains aren't too difficult to navigate.
Asta frowned. I'm sure we can manage, I told her with a smile. Kaas kept the map out, and we followed it toward the small mountains until we reached the base of them.
These don't look like mountains at all.
Kaas's head tilted to the side as she looked up at the natural structure in front of us. Oh, you're right, I agreed. It was large enough to be mountains, whatever it was, but it wasn't made of earth like the rest of the realm. It appeared to be wood, and I could see the knots and streaks in it the closer I looked.
I think I know what it is.
What? I asked as I looked over at her curiously.
I believe this is a root. Of course!
Kaas gasped, and her violet eyes went wide.
It's a root from Yggdrasil. I believe so.
Asta nodded.
I can feel it has tremendous power.
You can feel the power of the root?
I can. It is because I am one with nature, and this root feels like it is too. That makes sense. Yggdrasil is the tree of life, so it is essentially the creator of all nature. It has tremendous power.
Asta repeated softly as she stared at the root with awe in her sunflower yellow eyes. I looked back at the strange mountain in front of us. Ramir had told us about the roots, but I hadn't considered we'd actually be able to see them. I figured they would be below ground, but I wondered if there would be roots in Niflheim and Asgard as well. We should find the well, I said. It was already midday, and the sun was high in the sky.
Yes.
Kaas nodded.
This way.
The strawberry blonde looked down at the map, then back up, before she took a step to the left. Ufe sat on her shoulder and looked out at the world around us, but Blah and Inger flew just above us, content to be in the sky instead of on the snowy ground. Kaas led us through the snow and down the side of the massive route until we came to a large clearing. There was no snow there, only grass on the ground. The entire area was surrounded by large black rocks that created a sort of fence around us, and in the middle of the field was a large well made of red brick.
We found it!
Cass breathed as she came to a halt. Blah landed on my shoulder, and I watched as Inga landed on Asta's. Then we all took a moment to look around at the area before us. I couldn't feel the cold of Jotunheim, but something told me this place was warmer than where we'd come from. The sun shone above us, and the green grass was lush and full.
Should we feel the vial?
Asta asked with a smile. I think we should. I agreed, and I took a step forward, only to stop, dead in my tracks. A flash of black and white landed on the other side of the well with a loud thud, and once the creature was on its feet, I could see what it was. A giant white snow leopard with black spots. The beast was at least 15 feet tall, standing on four legs, and just as long with large, sharp teeth, and a long tail that swished back and forth as it eyed us with glowing red eyes. Shit! I cursed as I pulled my blade from my hip.
It must be the guardian of the well.
Asta pressed herself against my back.
Maybe you can speak to him like you did Nidhogg?
Well, the logic was sound, but I wasn't sure if it worked that way. Nidhogg had spoken to me, and I'd been able to speak to that wolf we'd run into in Asta's world as well. But I didn't think my ability to communicate with giant animals had anything to do with them being guardians of wells. Huh? Then again, I wasn't sure how it worked at all, so it was worth a try. I focused my thoughts and tried to reach out mentally to the leopard. The beast just stared back at me. After a moment, I felt silly, so I decided I would try to speak to it directly. Hello? I said, and I licked my lips nervously. If you can understand me, I mean you no harm. The creature hissed and lowered its neck into a fighting stance.
I don't think it can understand you.
Right. I sighed and cracked my neck from side to side. It looked like I had no choice but to fight. I wouldn't attack the leopard first, but if it came after me or one of the girls, then I wouldn't hesitate to defend myself. I needed to get the water from this well, no matter what it took. The fate of all dragons depended on it, and if that required the death of a single snow leopard, I would gladly make the sacrifice. Stay back. I said over my shoulder to the girls. I refused to take my eyes off this leopard for even a second.
We can help.
Cass's voice was low but serious. I'll be prepared to step in then, but for right now I need you to stay back. I'm going to try and move closer to the well and see if it attacks.
We'll be ready.
Asta assured me. I nodded and took a step forward. My eyes were locked on the red eyes of the leopard, and we watched each other carefully as I walked slowly toward the well. The massive creature hissed and sunk lower as it readied itself to strike any second, and Blah dug his claws into my shoulder as he prepared himself to do the same. The little dragon was a fraction of the size of the beast before us, but I knew he wasn't scared. We'd gone up against many large foes since he'd hatched a little over a month ago, and we'd go up against more in the future. He was a fearless little thing, with nerves of steel, and an ego far too big for his small head. Blah, I said, and I held my sword up higher so he could easily reach it. The little dragon breathed a massive blue flame onto the blade, and when he finished, my sword remained on fire. I'd yet to use this capability yet, but I figured now was as good a time as any, since I hoped snow leopards weren't overly fond of fire. The small sliver of hope I'd had that the leopard would allow me to take the water without a fight had fizzled out quickly. The massive creature's teeth were bared, and its haunches were raised. It was blatantly clear I was not wanted there, and I was unwelcome to partake of the water in the well without a brawl first. If this leopard was the guardian of the well, which I assumed he was from how he sunk lower with each step I took toward the water, then I hated to have to kill him. There had to be a reason the well was guarded, and I didn't want to be the one to leave it vulnerable. It didn't look like I had a choice, though. I took a step toward the well, and the leopard took a step toward me. Its red eyes seemed to glow with rage as it bared its teeth and hissed at me. I licked my lips and adjusted my stance so I was prepared to attack. I was growing impatient, and I had a feeling the creature would only attack if I tried to take from the well. Blah tensed on my shoulder, and he flapped his wings and soared above me a split second before I let out a war cry and ran toward the massive leopard. The beast lunged toward me, but Blah let out a blast of fire, which gave me the opportunity to rush it and land a solid blow to the cat's front leg. My sword was still on fire, and the heat from Blah's flames allowed me to cut right through the muscle and skin there. The tissue hung off the leopard's bone, and it tumbled forward and screeched in pain. That wasn't enough to deter it, though, and the beast got up on its remaining three legs. Blood dripped from the front leg I'd sliced open, and the creature clearly couldn't put any weight on it, but it still stood up and snarled at me once more. The giant leopard faced me and prepared to lunge again, but just as its body tensed, Asta's dagger flew into its right eye. The creature yowled in pain and began to shake its head in an attempt to get the dagger out, so I looked up at Blah and nodded at the little dragon. He quickly teleported over to the leopard and appeared right by its other eye. When the leopard sensed he was there, it instinctively opened its eye to look at him, and Blah quickly unleashed a blue flame that blinded it completely. I charged at the beast and jumped up onto the well, and then swung down onto the leopard's head. Gravity assisted my attack, and my sword pierced the beast's skull and dug in deep. The massive creature crumpled beneath me, and once its body stopped twitching, I pried my sword out of its head and climbed down.
That was incredible!
Asta breathed as she and Cass ran up to me. Well, you helped, I smiled.
Hardly. It seemed like you and Blar had it under control.
Cass shrugged.
Ufe and I didn't want to get in the way.
Oh, you two decided this together, did you?
We did.
I looked over at the dead leopard in the grass. The white of its fur was now stained red with blood, and its eyes were nothing more than holes in its skull.
Are you sad you had to kill the leopard?
Asta asked, and her eyebrows pinched together as she looked at me. I am. He was the guardian of this well, and it was his job to protect it.
Yes, but he did his job to the best of his abilities. He was simply no match for you. That's not his fault.
I suppose you're right. I nodded. The girls and I walked over to the well and peered down inside, and Blah, Ufe, and Inga hopped off our shoulders and onto the brick structure so they could look down as well. I strained my eyes, but all I could see was blackness, so I grabbed a rock from the ground and held it above where the water should be.
Is it okay to do that?
What do you mean? I paused with the rock held up in the air. We need to know how far down the water is.
I don't know.
The strawberry blonde bit a lip.
It seems a little rude. I mean, this is a sacred well, after all.
I see your point. I muttered as I lowered my arm and dropped the rock back onto the ground. Then a thought occurred to me, and I turned to the elf girl at my side. Wait! Can you use your sunlight power to look down there?
Of course.
Asta smiled and held out her hand. Sunlight poured out of her palm, and she turned her hand so the light shone down inside the well.
There's nothing.
The strawberry blonde was right. I saw absolutely nothing at the bottom of the well. It was dried up, with just a few rocks and plants where the water should have been. Well, I don't understand. I frowned.
This can't be right.
Kaa shook her head.
Wasn't there something about your king in this well? How did he get water from it? Odin sacrificed his eye.
Kaa said, and she looked at me with wide eyes, filled with concern.
Surely that's not a requirement.
Asta looked taken aback by Kaa's words. I hope not. I closed my eyes and took a deep breath. Why wasn't the water here? This made no sense. It was very clearly the well we'd been searching for.
A sacrifice.
Cass muttered as she stared at the ground and worried her lip. Cass, I raised an eyebrow at the strawberry blonde sorceress. Do you have an idea?
Devel requires a sacrifice.
Cass stood up and walked over to the dead leopard. She swiped her hand across its forehead, where my blade had pierced its skull, and then she walked back over to the well and held her hand out above it. Blood ran off her fingertips and dripped down into the well. The drop made a small popping sound, and from the point of impact a spiral of silver sparkles floated up to the top of the well. Once it reached us, it exploded outward, and where the well had been empty before, it was now full of water.
Wow!
Asta breathed, and she turned to look at Cass.
That was incredible. How did you know to do that? I don't know.
Cass shook her head and smiled.
It just felt like the right thing to do. The guardian of the Vell died, but it wasn't in vain.
Thank you. I put my hand on Cass's shoulder. We all looked at the water for a moment, and I admired our reflection in the clear liquid. Out of the corner of my eye, I watched Blah cock his head from side to side as he stared at himself. I smiled at the little dragon's curiosity, but then he leaned down and stuck his tongue out as if he were about to drink from the water. Blah! No! The little blue dragon stopped with his head halfway down to the water, and his tongue sticking slightly out of his mouth. No, I warned sternly. Blah rolled his eyes and lifted his head back upright. I wasn't sure if it would make a difference or not, but I figured it was better to err on the side of caution. I didn't want the little dragon to drink from the well and end up owing it an eye. After a moment, Cass reached into a satchel and pulled out the three vials. She held them in her hands and looked up at me through her thick blonde eyelashes.
Which one do you use?
I don't know.
You should try and feel them. Touch is a powerful tool.
I wasn't sure it would work, but I had no reason not to try it either, so I closed my eyes and placed my hands on top of the vials. At first I sensed nothing, but then a tingling sensation ran through my fingers all the way up to my neck. I grabbed the bottle those fingers were touching and held it up. It was a dark blue vial. The bottle was shaped like a triangle, and the deep blue sea glass was murky but still transparent. It reminded me of the water that surrounded Asgard, and even though I had absolutely no reason to feel it was the correct bottle for this well, I knew it was. This one, I said as I held the vial up. Blah sniffed the bottle and then nodded his approval. I pulled the cork out of the top of the bottle and slowly lowered it down into the water. The liquid was cold on my fingertips, but I ignored the sensation and allowed the bottle to fill to the brim. Once it was full, I placed the cork back in the vial and held it up to the sunlight. When I looked at it, the bottle suddenly began to glow. A deep red color emanated from the glass, and it pulsated in my hand three times before it faded back to its original color.
What was that?
I don't know. I shook my head. Blah leaned forward on my shoulder and eyed the vial curiously.
You must have chosen right.
I think I did. I nodded. I glanced back down at the well, just in time to see the water begin to drain. The liquid swirled as if it were being pulled down a drain, and after a few seconds it all disappeared into nothingness. Blah, Inga, and Ufe jumped down to the edge of the well and peered inside, and then Blah turned to look at me with wide blue eyes.
Where did it go? It served its purpose.
I looked down again at the bottle in my hand, and a warm feeling of accomplishment swelled inside my chest. We had one full vial. Now there were only two more to go.